Tell me a little bit about sound in the canopy. We're so used to hearing sounds that bounce off of hard surfaces all around us without realizing it. Walls, ceilings, ground, buildings. What does it sound like when you're suspended up in midair?
Well, there's multiple types of reflection going on in the cloud forest and also in the rainforest as well. And those surfaces are very waxy. The leaves have a certain geometry, and depending on the season, frogs and bats can use the geometry of the leaves to strategically to hunt with. So if bats are hunting at night, they can ricochet their echolocation off of a leaf configuration and find moths that way. The length of songs and the wavelength of songs and things like that and communication are really based on those surfaces. And they're very different than a North American temperate forest. So if you were recording in, say, British Columbia in the Sitka spruce, the sound will go out and it almost doesn't come back because there's so much organic on the trunks. And that's not the case in the Amazon. The trunks of these ceiba trees and things like that are not covered with the moss the same way they might be in a North American temperate forest as well, even though it's incredibly wet. It's also a very new territory for looking at ecologies, the sound. So we're really learning about that. And so there's a lot of enthusiastic people doing this work. And these devices we're talking about, these audio moss, are becoming really instrumental, that if you could set out an array of 100 of these and come back in a month, and they'll hold a charge for a month, and they're really small, you can fit them in the palm of your hand, you would gather more data than had ever been taken in relation to that forest. It's a good time for doing this work. So
that's a lot of data. I imagine it's not exactly easy to just pull the good stuff right out.
So visually, you can look at the spectrograms. So once you understand the visual print of the sound is, then you could scroll through things. But scrolling through things for a month's worth of data is very daunting. So you can actually have a artificial intelligence kind of training done on the sound itself, but also on the spectrogram. So you can process this in the cloud when you get it back here. And this is also something that, with ocean recording, they're able to put out ocean recorders for a month to listen to mammalian communication with pinnipeds or whales or any of those things. We really want to do this with long-term recording for the Pink River dolphins, but because the river goes up and down 20 to 30 feet every year, we're trying to figure out where we deploy those recorders that could be out there as basically a big hard drive recording and bring it back to the studio and then going through it with AI or visually to see where we can find interesting things happening.
It sounds like we're only beginning to understand what these ecosystems sound like, and there's so much more to discover.
This is kind of the golden era right now for ecoacoustics, but conversely, Bernie Krause, who's been recording since 1970s and 80s, he said that 85% of what he recorded has gone extinct already in terms of acoustic ecologies. So it's changing every day, like we know is happening in our world, and what we're trying to catch up to is disappearing as fast as we're getting new data.
With that, I think it's a good time to climb to where we can hear better. Thank you, Tim, for sharing your work and sounds with us over the last three episodes of the 60 Second Science podcast. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. We'll have more experimental features like this in the podcast in the future. Until then, earphones on.